And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past
years.
But what's
you,
most
Harrod
important
you.
Now is his.
Why is she not fired? Why are we all screaming, "Give me shelter"? We have a rogue president, a psychotic sorority, doing business with the enemy, consorting with the enemy, giving the enemy nuclear weapons, starting an arms race in the Middle East, attacking Russia. How much worse can it get? A lot worse. Welcome to a nice Friday. TGIF. An Army private deserts his unit, put on charges for that desertion, traded for 5 terror generals. Obama's ready to sign a deal with Iran to give them the ability, of course, not to develop nuclear weapons. We can trust Iran. This is a country that called us the great Satan just the other day and says they'll destroy us. And Obama will give them the ability to spin centrifuges in a fortified underground bunker. He's not doing everything he can to help people in the region fight ISIS. The airstrikes he's now allowing around Tikrit are helping Iranian militia take Tikrit. We know that the administration declassified information outing Israel's nuclear program, allowing their enemies to look right into the bunkers. We know that the administration does not like Jews. We know that they don't like Israel. They know that he doesn't particularly like Netanyahu. We know that he sent hundreds of left-wing fanatics to undermine their election. He meddled in a foreign election. We know that he will not use the word Islamic when talking about terrorists. These are the things we all know, but the question I raise again today is why? Why does Obama take these positions that seem to be anathema to everything that ordinary Americans, thinking Americans, think is correct? Why is he antagonizing our allies, which includes, by the way, not just Israel, but Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, and Morocco for that matter? Why is he attacking Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and Morocco? They're our best friends in the Muslim world. Why? Why is he working against their interests? Why is he supporting Iran? What is it that drives this man? What is it that has influenced him in his life that makes him hate America so much? What makes a person act in a way that is opposed to the way a normal person would protect a nation? I have answers, but I'd rather you answer them. Now Saudi Arabia says that they may go and get weapons, nuclear weapons, from Pakistan. They're not going to develop their own. You see, the story is this. When the Pakistanis were permitted to develop nuclear weapons, the Saudi monarchy allegedly paid up to 60% of the program, the nuclear program, in return for the ability to buy warheads for itself from Pakistan on short notice. That was reported in the Guardian newspaper in 2010. So now we have to assume that the Saudis have already ordered those nukes. They're not going to tell us that they have them any more than Israel would say they really had them. Israel didn't want to start an arms race. Saudi Arabia knew that the Israelis would never use nukes on them. They knew that. Jordan knew that the Israelis would never use nukes on them. But the world doesn't know what the psychotics and headscarves will do in Iran. We can only look at the past. Why is there such silence about what this maniac president of ours is doing? Why is there no outcry from Harvey Weinstein, David Geffen, Katzenberg, Spielberg? Why do I single out Harvey Weinstein, Katzenberg, Spielberg, and Geffen? They're Jewish Americans. Yes, they're liberals. They're entitled to be. And yet they're good friends of the president. And allegedly they were good friends of Israel until he came along. So now they have a divided question in their mind. Who should they be friends with? The president, who controls their industry through various and sundry, let us say, tax advantages? Or non-tax advantages? You do understand it's all business to Jeffrey and Harvey, don't you? You think they actually like Obama? I don't know. Maybe they like Obama. But why don't they say anything to Obama? Why is there no international reaction to this lunatic's starting a World War III in arms race in the Middle East? And look, I can ask 1,000 questions. for which there's only one answer. We have an American-hating president in the White House who fundamentally is not only redoing America, but destroying America's ability to survive into the next 10 years, in the opinion of anyone who can think about it. But most of us don't care. You know, I look at my audience size and numbers, and most of the people who listen to this show, not all, but most, are 35 plus in age. Did you know that? Robert doesn't know that. Jim may know that. No, I'm serious. I looked at the numbers. It's a nice audience, large audience, but it's mainly 35 plus. That's the demo. So tell me about the people who are younger than 35 years in age. I was once younger than 35 years in age, and at 18 I could care less about anything going on in the world. I didn't care. They don't care. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean they're ignorant. It doesn't mean they're brainwashed necessarily. It just means that they're younger. They don't care. It's what's ever in front of their eyes that matters to most of them. They don't know what Obama does. They don't, many of them may or may not like him. You know, they know he's a con man like most presidents, and they have no connection to the political process. You say politics to them, their eyes shut closed. Not interested. And yet they're allegedly the future of America. Well, I'm just thinking out loud right now. Now, yesterday I closed the show with a soliloquy that I thought was quite good, which I'm not going to play for you right now. I may play it a little later. The phone number here, by the way, for open, what do I call it, unprotected talk, is 855-400-7282. It's unscreened today. 855-400-7282. In the next hour, we have the best columnist in the United States of America. I would say the top three. Michael Goodwin of the New York Post will be on the show in the next hour to discuss Obama and Israel. Goodwin writes in such a succinct manner that I don't want to just paraphrase him. You know, when you paraphrase something that's perfect, you ruin it. That's like trying to copy a masterpiece. So I'd rather have the master on himself to tell you what he sees going on in the world. There are an awful lot of smart people out there, and the fact is that they do see what's going on. And they see it the way, well, many of us see it. Anyway, the phone number, 855-407-282, any topic is fair game. Let's start with WJR on line four out of Detroit. Go ahead, please. What's your name, station, and topic? Name, station, and topic, line four. Okay, Dumbo is gone. Let's go to line number one. Line number one, name, station, topic.
Mike, my name is Rama. I'm from 560, and my topic is Eric Fromm. And the reason I called you, Mike, is I feel that you may have misunderstood Eric Fromm's ideas about freedom. I was a student of Eric Fromm's in the 60s. In fact, I talked to him for an hour. And I know for certain that Eric Fromm definitely supported more individual freedom, not less. And he was a very courageous man. He definitely...
Hold it. Before we get off on the wrong track, I quoted him from his book, The True Believer, about 3 weeks ago. Is that the show you're referring to?
Well, no, I don't think Eric Fromm wrote The True Believer. I'm sorry.
We're talking about Eric Fromm, not Eric Hoffer. Pardon me. Okay, so who is Eric Fromm? I forget, truthfully.
Eric Fromm was the man who wrote The Art of Loving, Escape from Freedom, The Sane Society, The Revolution of Hope.
All right, did I quote him or did I mention him in passing? I don't recall if I did.
Mike, what I understand is that in your book about avoiding a civil war, that your idea was that Eric Fromm was believing that people should give up their individual freedom and support a welfare state. That's what I got.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Where are you getting that? Where are you getting this information from?
Well, from...
Sir, did you ever read Stop the Coming Civil War?
That's the book I'm talking about, Mike.
Did you read the book is what I'm asking you.
I have read it.
You have read it. So show me where I even mention Eric Fromm.
Well, you mention him with Herbert Marcuse. I think on page 61, I think.
Okay. And what is it that I'm saying that you object to?
Well, I think that you feel that Eric Fromm was against individual freedom. And I just wanted to tell you that he was actually for individual freedom.
Okay. So you're not saying I misquoted him, I hope.
No, I'm not saying you misquoted him.
Because he was an influential leader of the movement towards Marxism in this country, by the way.
A certain type of Marxism.
Marcuse and another popular Marxist author, Eric Fromm, were influential leaders of the movement toward Marxism in this country. I think you wouldn't argue with that.
I would agree with you, but he was also critical of...
Do you know that Fromm was a proponent of what is called polymorphous sexuality? What is that?
I'm not sure what that is, Mike. I'm not sure what that is, but I know...
They envisioned a society in which American citizens would give up individual freedom to the state and become pleasure-seeking functionaries whose only value consisted in pushing the envelope of hedonism. Tell me where that is wrong.
Mike, Eric Fromm didn't believe in that. I'm certain it's not true.
But I'm asking you to cite a reference of his own work that would, let us say, negate that statement.
Well, like in his book, The Art of Loving, he's talking about not depersonalized sex, but he's talking about deeper relationships between men and women.
All right, well, look, let's put aside your adulation of Fromm, which you're certainly, you know, entitled to. Would you say, looking at the bigger picture, that the sexual revolution of the 60s has enabled Americans to be freer as people or more enslaved by their sexuality?
Well, the type of sexuality Eric Fromm was talking about was not like a depersonalized type.
No, but wait, I didn't ask you about Eric Fromm. I'm asking you, the caller to the show. Would you say this rampant, crazed sexuality that America is engaging in has freed the society or enslaved the society in a bigger way?
The possibilities could go either way, Mike. A person could misuse their freedom for sex, or they could...
No, I'm talking about not the person, the society.
I'm not sure exactly what everybody else is doing. I hope they're going to use it responsibly.
Well, I'm asking you what you think. Do you think the sexual liberation movement of the 60s has ennobled and freed the American people or enslaved them?
I think a lot of people have benefited, but some people have not benefited.
But that's not answering the question about the society overall.
I'd say that everybody's the same. I'd say some people have gone the wrong
way. Well, we know some people are different, but we're talking about the overall society. There's a norm. There's a thrust of a society. You can't say about the individual. Overall, would you say the sexual liberation has ennobled the society or has it enchained the society? I'd like you to think about that and get back to the graduate school of thought, the real one, as opposed to the mail order conservative graduate school, the mail order one run by a high school dropout. My name is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
We're also going to be working to educate folks on how to... think about their money. You know, we were talking about the ward and you know, through the community college process, through consumer advocates at the local level, in the high schools, we need to be teaching young people the dangers of taking out too much consumer debt.
Are you kidding me? The most profligate spender in the history of America? A man who prints money around the clock to fund the welfare state. A man who has no regard for the taxpayer with regard to the abuse that he and his wife inflict upon us with their peripatetic natures. Look it up. It's not a dirty word, nor is it racist. See if you can find some racism in it. It's a big word, I know. Every day they're on another vacation somewhere at your expense, but he's going to tell kids in junior college the dangers of taking out too much consumer debt. I mean, this is a laugh. How does this go on? If it was a comedy show with a fake president, it couldn't get better than this. Unfortunately, there are consequences to a fake president who's real, which is the world is on the edge of exploding. He has taken an ally called Russia, nuclear armed to the teeth, phenomenal Air Force, phenomenal ground troops, phenomenal Navy. And he has alienated Russia to the extent, because of his frail ego, he has turned Putin into Hitler, along with Hillary Clinton, starting a possible World War III, a nuclear exchange, according to not Michael Savage. Now, don't trust my views. Trust Mikhail Gorbachev, who said that about 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago. Gorbachev was once a darling of the left. Now that he said that about Obama, possibly pushing us into a nuclear exchange with Russia, I guess Gorbachev won't be invited to Dianne Feinstein's soirees. He will be persona non grata on Pacific Heights amongst the heroin addicts with mansions. who pass for the cream of society. Yeah, in 49, the miners came, in 51, the whores. You know that one. Read Mark Twain. Anyone know the rest of that old couplet? All of the high-class people on Pacific Heights? In 49, the miners came, in 51, the whores. Did you ever see the rest of that? It was written by me. It was written by Mark Twain. Maybe they could eliminate it in the schools of San Francisco, in case you think they're just gussied up prostitutes on Pacific Heights. You know, I love cultural questions, and I like that call about Eric Fromm. You know, I don't mind talking about that. I love those subjects. And truthfully, it's a rest for me from the psycho in the White House. So let's take some calls, and I really don't know what people are calling about. Let's go to Reno, Nevada. I can see only the station, KKOH in Reno, line 4. Name and topic, please.
Hi, I'm Sandy. I was calling about your comment a few minutes ago about younger people today and their non-interest or just lack of interest in politics. Recently, I was going through some old boxes that I kept from high school. I'm 49, and when I was in high school, when I was 18, I was our student body president in a small Northern California high school. And I thought I was pretty politically aware, and we took a field trip to the state capitol in Sacramento, and we met with all kinds of different political leaders, got to see Congress in session, and when I went
What year was that you went to the state capitol in Sacramento?
That was 1984, when I was a teenager.
So you didn't need sunglasses to block the reflection off Moonbeam's head at the time?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't even think we wore sunglasses in 1984.
So I only got 20 seconds. What's the main point?
The main point is I found a box from high school with a newspaper article that I had written about that political high school trip.
And what's in the article?
At the end, I wrote, "I love politics. I think they're great." It just shows.
All right, that's terrific to hear that you're one of the few. All right, that's nice to know. You found the box in which it proves that you knew what was going on. All right, that's okay.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Welcome back to the 100-terabyte brain of Michael Savage. That's a big capacity, 100 terabytes. You know, when you think about it, back in the early days of the 80s when PCs were just introduced, the memory capacities were 5 megabytes. Your current PCs have hard drives ranging from 250 gigabytes to 4 terabytes, which is an increase of nearly a million times compared to the early models. A million times. Can you imagine that? So let's say that a current PC has a hard drive that can hold 4 terabytes of data. So I would say that my human brain is 100 terabytes. I hold more data than most computers. It's pretty amazing when you consider all of the books, all of the articles, all of the papers I read every day. You ask yourself, where does it go? Do I remember it all? I don't memorize it all, but I kind of know it all. Everything I read is stored somewhere, and I can pull it up in a flash. I know where to search for it. And if you're in the learning business, here's the best thing I ever learned in all my years in college. It was when I was an undergrad. I had a teacher who was kind and smarter than all of the other fake professors. You see, the worst teachers were the ones who would bewilder you with formulae on the blackboard. They would draw things and you thought they were so smart. Then they'd give you a lot of tests. They were usually the junior professors. The ones who quote the books the most and quote references and this one and that one are just basically spinning their wheels in front of you to impress you. The smartest professors would talk to you like a friend on the other side of a seesaw. And he told us, don't you worry about memorizing anything that you learn in this classroom. He said, I just want you to know where to go to look for it. I learned that how many decades ago? And that relaxed me so that I was able to just absorb what I thought was important and forget what I wasn't interested in. That helped me a lot. So now you come to today where you have a computer, you don't have to memorize anything. You don't have to know where to go for anything. All you do is search for it, which is a shame because you're not going to find all the answers by doing a Google search. You're only going to find some of the answers. That's the problem. Has Google made libraries redundant? I don't think so. You mean the mountains of information, the mountains of learning, the mountains of knowledge, not information, the mountains of wisdom that exist in libraries. Should we just burn them? throw them into a bonfire because we can just do a Google search on any fact? Would you say this generation is wiser? Of course not. Well, what good is wisdom? What good is wisdom when you have a gangster in the White House? What good is all the wisdom in the world when you have a rogue president who has bypassed the people in Congress and the Supreme Court? Tell me what good it all is. What does wisdom tell you to do? What does wisdom tell you to do when you have a rogue president like this who is spitting in the face of our history, our traditions? The foundations of our republic are being crushed every day by this regime. What do you do with all your wisdom? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. You turn inward. There's an old saying, tend your own garden. And you can only do that up to a point until eventually you have to throw down the hoe and pick up an AK-47. So that's not what we recommend on radio. We don't recommend you throw down your hoe and pick up an AK. We say that you don't throw down your hoe, but you pick up your rhetoric wherever you are. Anyway, hard drive is the question. Secure, efficient, Michael Savage. Easy hard drive shredding. Maximize your mainframe. I love these articles on computers. What are we going to do when we have robots? I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be like. They're probably digitalizing my voice. If I have 21 years of radio and I have most of it on tape, you realize that I could leave radio and people could just put together shows for the next 10 years? That's a pretty amazing thought. You don't even have to digitize the body anymore. You don't have to make Teddy. You don't have to make Chinese food. You have it all on tape. I'm just rambling today. I can't take the news anymore, truthfully. So I'll let you do a little bit of the calling. Let's see what's on your mind. WFTL in Florida, line 4. What's on your mind and what's your name?
Yeah, hello. My name is Dan, and I'm calling you from Miami on WFTL.
And?
I wanted to make a comment about this Sergeant Bo Bergdahl or Bagdahl, whatever his name is.
Sergeant Bo Bergdahl.
Bergdahl, okay. I think that this moron, Susan Rice, who justified his return, had the right idea, but she didn't phrase it correctly. Now, I happen to be a Naval Academy graduate, an old Navy carrier pilot, and a Vietnam veteran. I am 100% red, white, and blue-blooded. I love our country, and I think that what Susan Rice said is correct. We should have brought him back because we don't leave anybody behind. But what we shoot him.
He should have been brought back in a coffin.
Well, I'd rather bring him back here so we could have a public execution. I'm not sure if the military still does firing squads.
Believe me, in the old days of the military, they would have found him guilty of sedition or treason or abandoning his post and shot him on sight when they caught him.
Exactly right. All of those crimes are justified by the firing squad.
What kind of jets did you fly on the carriers?
Oh, probably long before your time.
I didn't fly them, and I'm a nut about this area. What did you fly?
I flew A-4s, A-7s, S-2s, C-1s, S-3s, and I'd go back later on this afternoon if they let me. But I retired in 1985, and so there's not much.
Well, you got out at the right time. That was just about when things started to turn the other way.
Yeah, you're right. It was a good time while I was in. But
that's when men really ran the military. That's when America was dominant on the planet. That's before the psychopaths took it over and started to say, you have to put this one in, that one in, that one looks good, that she looks good. Didn't matter whether they could fly. They made her already a commander of a carrier. Do you know who's in charge of the U.S. Navy now?
I have no idea.
Do you know who's in charge of the U.S. Air Force? Obama selected a woman who can't fly an airplane.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not making it up. I am not creating this. It's out of a madhouse. He chose a woman who can't fly to run the Air Force and a woman who can't drive a rowboat to run the Navy.
Well, I'm not surprised because he doesn't have any idea of what the military is all about. The guy doesn't have a clue.
Well, he must know something about the military. He's helping the Iranian military get the ability to blow countries off the map. Don't assume he's that stupid.
Assuming he's stupid, but he's a national embarrassment. He doesn't have any idea.
Well, we all believe that, but we're in a different generation. We think differently than others.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, thank you very much for the service to America and your willingness to call the show. No apology, Fuhrer. State senator stands by saying he'd shoot a cop. You hear? Look at this moron. Nebraska politician compares cops to ISIS. Can you believe this? Right, this guy is really something. This state senator, Ernie Chambers, is not backing down. He stood Thursday on the floor of the Nebraska legislature and rejected many of his colleagues' calls for him to apologize or even resign for comparing cops to ISIS terrorists and suggesting he'd shoot a cop if he weren't nonviolent and had a gun. He said, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. Are you listening to this? This ignorant moron is perfect for the Justice Department. Instead of resigning, I think that State Senator Ernie Chambers should be hired immediately by the Justice Department to run the Civil Rights Division and persecute white cops. I think there should be a new division in the new Justice Department under Loretta Lynch, which is called the Police Lynching Division, and see how many cops you can lynch on false charges based on their race, and then hire Ernie Chambers to head up that lynching division. Get it? It's all sarcasm. Do you get that? Is that too strong for you? I hope not. It's unbelievable. Yeah, he's entitled to freedom of speech, but this is a politician. Can you believe this is what goes on, this racial hatred coming out of his mouth? This is racial hatred. He happens to be an African-American state senator, and he said that cops are like ISIS terrorists, and a state senator says he'd shoot a cop if he weren't nonviolent and had a gun. And this is the country you're living in under Holder, Obama, Susan Rice, and the sorority. That opens up one line at 855-407-2822. Let's go to line number three. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Savage. My name is Rodney at WBAP on the Internet. And I'm an African-American teacher, and I teach college and history, high school. And I wanted to ask, why do you think there appears to be such a rash of police brutality seen against black youth in the news?
You mean in the news or in reality?
Let me say in reality first.
Well, maybe they're committing more crimes than in the past.
Okay.
Let's not rule that out. Because by ruling it out, you're assuming the cops are just picking on black youth.
You're absolutely right. But you know what? There's another thing that I've noticed. I'm a teacher, and this is something that I've noticed through the years. They are not, and this is something cultural, I think, but following direct instruction is something now that the black American community is losing grip of because of no fathers in the home.
You mean they won't listen to anyone telling them anything? Is that what you're saying?
Typically, this is what happens. When you give direct instruction, they find a way out of it, and they try to argue, and sometimes they get
nasty. All right, so your point is well taken, which is that because there's no discipline from a father, they're not going to accept discipline from anyone else. It's an interesting question and comment that you've made, because I actually thought about talking about something related to that, which is, how did I become the person I am? As flawed as I am, I'm a fairly straight person in some ways, and as warped as the next man in others. But the thing is this, I've done a fairly good job in my life thus far. You know, tomorrow is another day. Who guided me? Father, strong father, mother, strong mother, God-believing mother. Teachers were strong, doctors were strong, religious figures were strong in my life. Without them, Boy Scouts were very important in my life. They taught me right from wrong. So what happens if you have a kid raised like a wilding, without anyone telling him right from wrong, he's going to become like an animal, isn't he? And that goes for any race.
That's right. That's right. But 70% of kids in the African-American community grow up without a father. You know, I just did some research and wrote a book about this, and it's incredible. But 70%, and that's a huge amount. And so this is what we're seeing in the schools, that not being able to follow direct instruction. When you give them direct instruction, immediately there's an attitude problem.
Well, maybe that explains Obama's problem. His father abandoned him right away. He didn't have a father figure in his life, did he? So he adopted the father figure of Franklin Marshall Davis and some other communists. That we know from his own autobiography. And he also doesn't listen to anybody. He also does things on his own. He also doesn't respond to Congress or the people. I mean, what you're saying has a larger ramification than the kids you're talking about.
It does. It does. And, you know, and here where I am in Virginia, when doing this kind of research, I mean, I had to look at myself before I, you know, did the book. And,
well, did you have a father at home?
Yes. Yes, I did. And I was glad to to, later on, after I finished graduate school, return home and really connect with my father, because I really, I made a point to do that. And I spent...
Well, I take by what you're saying is that he was tough on you, right?
He wasn't tough on me. He wasn't tough on me, but he was rather distant for a little bit because of what had happened, something in the family.
But did he guide you in any way? Did he tell you right from wrong?
Yes, he did. And
did he tell you that you should make something of yourself and bring respect to the family? I think you're saying he did.
Yes, and he did that for the most part by way of his example. But
that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was younger trying to make my way in the world, as I still do. I remember reading stories about Japanese kids who would come to America at that time to go to college here. And if they didn't get a 4.0 and they failed their family, some of them would commit suicide out of humiliation. I mean, I thought that was crazy. But that was an extreme, let's say, of, let us say, representing the family as an individual.
That's going too far.
Well, of course it's going too far. All of us will fail at something at some point. It doesn't mean we have to kill ourselves. Well, my friend, I appreciate your call. Let me send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. That is now time of 47 after the hour. That opens up a line at 855-472-8222. You now have the opportunity to call and speak to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, look what's going on. The Russian Soyuz rocket carrying an American astronaut, Scott Kelly, to the International Space Station from Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Now, we used to have a NASA until this genius came along and destroyed it almost within a month of taking power. The genius in the White House eliminated NASA and now turned our astronauts into passengers on Russian rockets. I'm surprised Obama doesn't push his political agenda on the Russians here and insist that they have a transgendered bathroom facility on the Soyuz, or they won't ride on it or something like that. And go a step further and make it like a modern American aircraft carrier, have birthing facilities on the Soyuz in case someone wants to have a baby on the way to the International Space Station, because you don't want to be prejudiced against anybody. You know, rampant sex on the Soyuz, I mean, that would be the American way. That should come before the mission. Isn't that wonderful that our astronauts are now basically second-class passengers on Russian rockets? Of course, we can't keep any secrets since they're on Russian rockets. Our astronauts are an open book, which is, of course, the Obama way. He believes in transparency when it comes to the U.S. military secrets. The only transparency he doesn't believe in is about his own secrets. Anyway, you get the drift. I'm a real fan of Barack Obama, as you can tell. What was he hiding? Shredded sick notes found in co-pilot's apartment. Probe looks at possible life crisis. Life. Why'd they let this nut fly? Why'd they let this medicated nut fly? Receiving medical treatment that he hid from his employer? Break up with his girlfriend? I read this morning something else. I can't even read it because there's no verification, translated from a German blog, and it's by Michael Mannheimer. And there's no point in, you know, repeating a blog from Germany on the fact that he may have been a Muslim. I can't say that he might have been a Muslim yet, because there's no confirmation that he was an Islam convert to Islam. And so, therefore, German news report, co-pilot of German Wings Airbus was a convert. And we can't confirm that or deny it. So we're not going to say that this German blog, which states that he was a convert, is accurate or inaccurate. This is good when you speak in code. I may have to start speaking in code, because what I just said cannot be translated into written form. All right. Yeah, we'll have to figure out new ways under the coming fascist regimes. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture, And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the program. Good music. The devil makes good music. Great era. I could go into a riff right now. It cost me half the audience. Of the 12 and a half women who listen, I lose six of them. If I said anything about the 60s, they'd say it's off-color, anti-woman. I can't say anything anymore. I better stick to politics. Well, there's good news. Harry Reid announced he won't seek re-election. Terrible beating. I mean, a terrible accident. Terrible, terrible accident. That's a horrible thing to happen to a man of his stature. Just think, the rubber band broke and threw it across. He was thrown across the gym floor of the house with the rubber flu. Rubber flew across the floor. No, it's a terrible thing. I mean, look, you don't wish that upon people in your own country. On ISIS, yes. Battered and bruised Reid to leave Senate. Let's listen to his statement at clip 17.
The work that I've done for the people of the state of Nevada has been just as fulfilling as if I had played center field at Yankee Stadium. The job of minority leader of the United States Senate is just as important as being a majority leader. It gives you so much opportunity to do good things for this country. And that's what I am focused on. But this accident has caused us, for the first time, to have a little downtime. I have had time to ponder and to think. We've got to be more concerned about the country, the Senate, the state of Nevada, than us. And as a result of that, I'm not going to run for re-election.
Was he admitting he was a complete loser? He said we have to be more concerned about the country, the Senate, and the state of Nevada than us? So he's admitting he was a complete loser? What did he just say there? I don't understand. He's 75 years old. I mean, he suffered serious eye and facial injuries in a January 1 exercise accident. He says the decision to retire was not attributable to the accident or to his demotion to minority leader after Dems lost the majority in November's election. Well, the real reason is the polls are showing he's unelectable. Every other major position in Nevada is a Republican. They hate him. The man may as well be a member of a foreign nation who invaded Nevada, and yet he's a Nevadan. How does a man who was born in that state come out to be such a crazed liberal? So, I mean, you know, thank God he's leaving, but who's going to take over? At the top of the Senate Democratic hierarchy and in the Senate contest, that is going to be some deal here. Conservatives such as Charles G. and David H. Koch, the billionaire brothers, are going to be involved. But yeah, that's not going to be a big deal. I mean, there's a number of people who are going to win. The Democrats are finished in the state. They everything they touched, they destroyed. Now, what made him leave is nothing more than the polls said he can't get elected. It's that simple. Period. He knew he couldn't get elected. He didn't want to kill himself and raise all this money to lose. So one of the Republicans there is going to become the senator from Nevada, which is going to give the Repubs another vote. Great, just what they need to do nothing with, except dip their beaks into the public treasury. That's all. Let's see. There's nothing else to say about this. So Reid's leaving. That's all. Let me look at the most emailed stories in the New York Times to show you the mind of the psychos. Most emailed in the New York Times, one, the radical humaneness of Norway's Halden prison. Two, Paul Nutt Krugman, Mornings in Blue America. Four, inside America's toughest federal prison, New York explosion ignites fire, fells buildings, and injures at least 19. Crazy. I mean, is that really a gas thing in a sushi joint? What, they have a blowfish that blew up in there? I mean, it's not a laughing matter. What really happened in that building? I know the building. I think I know the building. If someone's listening on ABC, leave a line open. As someone who's been in New York longer than the people who just moved there from Cleveland, can you tell me or tell me not, 7th Street and 2nd Avenue, is that not the exact building where the Orchida restaurant was until 1982? I ate there in 1967 when I was I used to frequent the East Village in the heyday of the East Village when it was still a slum. I used to like it when it was still a slum. How it could ever become yuppified, I'll never understand. It still looks like a slum to me. The same slums, they put in new toilet fixtures and charge $3 million for the slum apartment. Okay, you know, different stroke. These are the same tenements that the grandfathers fled. The granddaughter's paying $3.5 million for with a new toilet. And she's still lonely, sitting there alone at night, looking out of the window like a grandmother Yenta, sitting on a pillow, looking down at the street, wondering why the world's passing her by. That's just life. What can you do? Poor girls, they don't know what to do up there, you know, trying to be cool, wearing all black. Dye their hair green and wear all black, and they think they're going to catch a man. They can only catch something else, which I can't say what it is. It's a family show. Oh, man, oh, live. Anyone know what really happened in that store? That's too big a blast for... Do gas explosions create that much volume of explosive force? The whole building got blown out. I don't really know. Oh, here it is. New York Post. Gas main being installed without permission at explosion site. Bingo. Oh, a scab contractor. Gas main being installed without permission at explosion site. Uh-huh. No permits for any sort of work at 121 Second Avenue. Careless workers accidentally ruptured a gas main Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So someone was trying to put in a gas main without a permit. According to city records, general contractor Dilber Kusick, owner of Neighborhood Construction Corps in the Bronx, got a permit on June 19th for renovations, including removal and installation of partition walls, replacement of flooring, relocation of plumbing. In other words, to gussy it up and charge $3 million for a slum. That work was finished and certified by project engineer Sakwan Im. The work was finished and certified by project engineer Sakwan Im. A related permit was issued to plumber Andrew Trombettas of SK Piping and Heating Corps of Long Island City. You don't like it, I'll bust you across the head. You don't like my work, I'll give you up. But he self-certified that work was finished on August 19th. He self-certified. Go argue with Andrew Trombettas. You don't like it, I'll give you a job across the head with the pipe. WABC on line 5. Go ahead. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hi, I'm Victoria from White Plains. I used to live in Brooklyn and frequent the village in the 60s, early 60s, when I was in high school. And I think you're right that was where that restaurant was.
Did you ever eat in that restaurant, La Orquita? I mean, it's gone. It was gone in 1982. I left New York in 68, 69. I lived there for a while again in the 80s, then my mother, of course, till she moved to Florida. But I don't remember it, but it was a beautiful, it was a Sicilian red sauce joint. The old style Italian food, when pasta was spaghetti. You know, you remember my poem, when pasta was spaghetti. They didn't call it this eni and that eni and schminini. They called it spaghetti. All the different noodles were called spaghetti in those days. No one even knew what the others were.
It was normal then, and we really enjoyed, things were simple.
What did you do in the village when you were in high school? You went there for drugs?
No, I never took drugs, and I couldn't even drink. I get drunk on scotch tape.
That's funny. No, most kids went to the village to buy marijuana, little bags of marijuana, and the drug dealers usually sold them oregano in a bag, robbed them. No, in those days, you imagine that? The dealer would put oregano in a bag to the poor kids from the suburbs, and they thought they were buying pot. They'd almost smoke oregano.
No, I didn't. I was a good girl, unfortunately. I might have missed a lot of...
Hey, what do you mean, unfortunately? Why would you say unfortunately? Do you regret that you didn't sow your wild oats?
No, I'm thinking just that I may have missed a lot of fun, and I don't know something?
Here's a phrase I don't understand. My mother, you know, I played her tape on the anniversary show the other day, and I said, Ma, to what do you owe your longevity? She was 83. She said, in my case? I said, yes. She says, no sex. She missed a lot of fun, and she lived long and healthfully.
I had 3 jobs and went to school 5 nights a week. I really had no time for anything, and I think that's what...
But maybe you didn't miss anything. What, you missed the whole hippie era with STDs?
No, I never had that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you count your lucky stars. That's all. Don't regret any loss. Here's the phrase, before I take a break. Again, it's a topic I talk about for 3 hours. People say to you, oh, enjoy yourself, have a good time, life is short. I don't understand that one. If life is short, what does having a good time have to do with eternity? I can't put that together. I mean, I like a good time as much as anyone else, right? I have a hedonistic streak in my being that I have to keep controlled. I'm a wild man inside. I have a team of wild horses that have to be kept under control. I get it. But say, okay, life is short, enjoy yourself while you can. Now, what does that mean? You mean what? In the next world, you're going to remember you had a good time in this world? It means on your deathbed, you're going to say, I'm glad that I had a good time? I don't understand that one. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? I don't quite get that one. What do you mean? Can anyone explain that to me? It's a philosophical conundrum that I've thought about. People will say to you, life is short. Go ahead. Have a good time. So what does that actually mean? I don't quite understand it. If you have a good time, you mean life is longer? If you have a good time, life is what? You're rewarded for the good time? I don't quite get it. You mean try to have a good... Who doesn't want to have a good time? You know, but what is a good time? How much of a good time do you really need? How about Barney the Shofu, who said to me when I was a young kid and he looked at the women going by and I say, Barney, what do you think of it? And he said, kid, I've had my share. How about that concept of someone saying, I've had my share, and stop acting like an animal and heat every 3 seconds? That doesn't apply either. He knew he was an older man. He was dignified. He said, I had my share, and that was it. He didn't leer at every woman who walked down the street on Ludlow Street. He didn't leer at them like he was Mr. Stud. Whatever. It's just random thoughts, that's all. It's Friday. It's time for the randomness. And I see the president's going on a golfing vacation this weekend while he's giving Iran the ability to develop a nuclear weapon. Then he'll come up with something about the folks in Iran. Oh, yes, the folks in Iran are developing some nuclear energy for their domestic needs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, when I come back, open line 855-407-282, and don't you dare miss Michael Goodwin of the New York Post at the bottom of the hour, one of the finest columnists in the world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Turn the junkies off. Now, many of you think that you're patriots, but here's a U.S. citizenship test. I'm wondering if how many of us could pass this. You know, during the interview process, if you come here legally, that this excludes anyone Obama's bringing in. The 30 million who come in don't have to answer any of these questions. I don't know if Obama could pass this test. But to become a citizen, applicants are asked up to 10 questions and must be able to answer at least 6. So I'll give you an example, and this is from Fox News. Oh, no, it's Washington Times, sorry. Who was in charge of the executive branch? President, Speaker of the House, Chief Justice, Majority Whip. I guess if you're from south of the border, you could add the coyote. So, of course, I would check the president, and I hit next, so I'm right about that. Next question. I got it right, didn't I? I didn't even give me the next question. The next question. How many U.S. senators are there? 50, 100, 200, 435. How many even know the answer? Huh? 100. Go to next. Did I get that right? I hope so. It's very slow. Can't the Washington Times fix this? There's 100 U.S. senators. Everybody knows that. Of course, they're all irrelevant. You know, I know a guy wants to run for the Senate. I said, what do you want to waste your time for? You want to be a junior senator from Nowhereville and have no power when you have a dictatorship that has emerged under this genius in the White House? We elect a president for how many years? 2, 4, 6, 10. Under Obama, put in an eternity. No matter what the number of years, I would say eternity is the next question. But okay, the right answer is 4 years next. It's for the average, you know, immigrant. You have to answer these questions. Why is it so slow to load? What's the number of gigabytes in this stupid computer of mine? Come on! Okay, one more question. This is stupid. If the president can no longer serve, who becomes president? The First Lady, Speaker of the House, Senate Majority Leader, or the Vice President? If the president can no longer serve, who becomes president? Answer, Warren Buffett. Or anyone on Wall Street. If the president can no longer serve, who becomes president? Well, you know the answer to that, right? Robert, what's the answer? The VP. I'm going to check VP. Progress. It doesn't tell you if you're right or wrong. That's the problem with this little program. It's very slow, and it doesn't answer. What's the point of checking yes? Oh, I'm not double-clicking. Okay, who vetoes bills? Congress, the president, the vice president, or senators? Under Obama? Nobody. There are no vetoes. He's the only one who gets to veto. He's a dictator. He's running a banana republic. But who vetoes bills? Jim, come on, you're up. Congress, the president, vice president, or senators? He gets the veto bills. Okay, we're going to press the president and hit next. I hated these kind of tests. My mind is already fogged out just doing it. I was so, you know, with all my education, I hated tests like this. I liked essays. I liked being able to think, but memorizing, okay, this is easy stuff, but it's too slow. Double click, Michael. Okay, here's the last one. What are the two major political parties in the United States? Democratic and Republican, liberty and justice, law and order, checks and balances. Well, the two major political parties in the United States are Wall Street and Iran. Those are the two major political parties, Wall Street and the UAE, Wall Street and Saudi Arabia. There are no two parties anymore. There's just one gigantic party with outside interests. Okay, when I come back, Obama, Israel, beware of Obama, says Michael Goodwin of the New York Post. I don't want to miss it. I hope you don't either. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And with us right now is one of the finest columnists in America, if not the world, Michael Goodwin. I read him every time I see a new column of his. Michael, a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation program. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
So your latest column was entitled Israel, Beware of Obama, and it's so well written that I don't want to try to paraphrase it. But why is there such silence in the Jewish community about what Obama is doing, Michael?
Well, I think there are, it's not monolithic. I mean, you're right that probably the majority of Jews are silent about it, American Jews anyway. But I think there's a lot of disquiet around the world among Jews. I mean, look what's happening in France and in all over Europe, frankly. So I think that there is a sense that something's breaking down, and where is Obama? And certainly Israelis do not have a high opinion of our president, and as we saw with Benjamin Netanyahu, they reelected him despite Obama's criticism and efforts to stop that.
Michael, you know, you go beyond Israel, and most in the audience probably care a little bit about Israel, but mostly they care about what he's doing to America. And you write, in Obama's 6 years in office, if they teach us anything, it is that he is impervious to appeals to good sense. Why is he so above any suggestion of compromise or accords with anyone other than his own little inner circle?
Look, I think there is a political correctness factor that we can't ignore. And I think it is for most Democrats in, let's take the Democrats in Congress, the Chuck Schumer types, right?
Yeah.
Who basically, I think, are afraid to offend Obama because it will hurt them politically among black voters, particularly, and all liberals beyond that. So I think that in a way the president is still popular among certain segments of the country, and these are politicians, the Schumers of the world, who are afraid to offend that constituency, and so they stay silent. And I've referred to them frequently as lemmings, that they have effect put party before country, that they are not doing their duty to America because they have participated in the president's whittling down of our national security. And what he has done to Israel, I think in a way, Michael, is an extension of what he's done to America. I mean, a lot of people ask me and are writing to me saying, he's an anti-Semite. He may well be, but I don't have any evidence of that. But I think what we can say with certainty is that he's not a big fan of the West, you know, in general, historically.
Yeah, and I wouldn't categorize him as an anti-Semite since Arabs are Semites as well. I'd be more specific. He's not anti-Semitic in that regard. But look, Michael, he lied. Look what you wrote. He lies to the public, ignores the Constitution, inflames race relations, and urges Latinos to punish Republican enemies. He abandons our allies, appeases tyrants, coddles adversaries, and uses the Crusades as an excuse for an action as Islamist terrorists slaughter their way across the Middle East. Now he's coming for Israel. This weekend is a turning point in world history, Michael, isn't it?
Absolutely. What's going on with the... Well, what's fascinating, because it's already started. I mean, the Iranian deal might well has already concluded, I think, as far as people like in Saudi Arabia are concerned. I mean, their actions in Yemen by attacking the Iranian allies in Yemen, Egypt is going to help them in that attack, the UAE, all of our long-standing Gulf Arabs allies are now fighting Iranian proxies. And the president is sort of caught between. He's boosting Iran with a nuclear weapon. He's talked of them as a regional force, as a force for stability. Meanwhile, everybody else is terrified of Iran, Israel included, but not just Israel. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, all the Arab allies that we have in the region, Jordan. They're all running from Iran while the president is helping Iran. I mean, we've never... That's why I think you have to put the context of, put Israel in the context of what he's doing. It's not just that he's hurting America or hurting Israel. He's hurting our Arab allies as well. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing that's unfolding before our eyes.
Yes, but that begs the question of how does he get away with it? Why is there no outcry in Congress? Even if they cannot stop him, they should at least be imposing their viewpoints out there. I don't see any opposition. Do you?
There is some, yes. I think that the 47 Republican senators who wrote the letter to Iran saying this deal will not hold, you had 367, I believe, members of Congress writing to the president this week, both Democrats and Republicans in the House, saying they have grave concerns about this arrangement. I spoke to one of them yesterday, Elliot Engel, who happens to be my congressman, and he described to me just the confusion about what the president's policies are and the fear of what those policies are creating. I mean, so look, you're fundamentally right. There is not enough resistance in Congress to what he's doing. But there is some, and my hope is that there will be 67 votes in the Senate to override the Iranian deal, to override a veto of the Iranian deal, and then to put more sanctions on Iran. I think there's a real possibility that will happen. And Harry Reid's decision today not to run may actually help that.
Yeah, what was that about? It's because what? The polls showed he couldn't get elected. He's not very popular in Nevada.
Right. I think all the Republicans were salivating that they should have had him in 2010, and they put up a lousy candidate against him, and that this time he was going to defeat because the popular governor Sandoval of Nevada was already making noises about running. So I think Harry Reid was destined for defeat. So his making himself a lame duck now, I think, does put. Take away one of President Obama's biggest defenders, and he was already the minority leader, but I think that just the locks are breaking now. The ice is melting. I think you'll see a lot of Democrats eventually signing up against Obama on the Iran situation for Israel, but not just for Israel. I think the alarm... John McCain said something yesterday, Michael. It's extraordinary. I wrote it down. He's quoting one of our allies in the Arab in the Gulf Arabs, saying is a leader of the country. Quote: "We believe it is more dangerous to be a friend of America's than an enemy."
Oh my God!
Think about that. That's what's happening over there.
Well, Michael Goodwin of the New York Post: Paris is now saying no to U.S. control of the peace process. Even socialist France is angered by what Obama's doing in catering to Iran. You know, I know that you probably won't go as far as some, nor as far as I've gone. This makes no sense to us for him to cater to Iran when it's known. Isn't Iran still listed as a state terrorist organization?
I think he fixed that.
Okay, so he did that to cover his bases. But how many American servicemen have been maimed, injured, or killed by Iranian IEDs?
Well,
by proxy Al-Qaeda, by proxy forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. Many. We know many.
Well,
so they're our enemy. Michael, they are our arch enemy. Why is he using our Air Force to permit them to drive home their control of Tikrit?
And what's your answer?
What is my answer? I'm afraid to say it again. My answer is one that is unpalatable to the average listener, Michael. And let's put it to you this way. I write fiction, and I'm a fan of fiction. And I've watched the series Homeland for too long to answer this with any objectivity, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and that's as far as I can go. Because in other words, logically, it makes no sense for an American president to be so impervious and imperious on an issue so important to the world and our own allies, and continue to go ahead with it as though nothing matters but his opinion. So you have to say, wait a minute, who is he answering to? Then some will say it's Valerie Jarrett. She's really calling the shots. I don't know the answer, Michael. It's one of the reasons I had you on, because your columns are so clear. This is troublesome that even socialist France is saying no to the so-called peace process with Iran.
Look, I agree with you. It is happening too slowly. I mean, there have been periods over the last 6 years where I thought sensible Democrats would begin to move away from him, and a few did, but not enough, and most of those who were unhappy ended up losing in 2010 and 2014. But it has been too slow. He still has a decent poll rating, which shocks the bedevil out of me. I don't understand how 40% of the country or 42% of the country can approve of his handling of his job. But I think,
well, Michael, you know the answer to that. A, ignorance is bliss, and B, government handouts tend to grease the skids.
That's the Democratic coalition, isn't it? And he's got a lockstep on non-whites primarily. And you throw in what Michael Barone calls the gentry liberals, some other young people in the colleges and who have been indoctrinated by this, and you end up with a 40-42% approval, which is terrible historically, but it's enough to keep the game going. And it's been,
well, Michael, before you leave us, yeah, all that's true, but we had an election that was a landslide in November, and it was a landslide against this maniac. It was against his insanity. The guy's nuts. Everything he does is against the people, against the Constitution, against the will of the people, so we had an election. And he's acting as though there was no election. He's nullified it in his own mind.
That's right. He acts as though he won, or that the loss doesn't matter, I guess is more accurate. But our system gives us several ways to correct that. And I think the Wall Street Journal editorial page had an interesting phrase the other day. It's too late for impeachment, which is an observation I think the Journal was comfortable making, because it never favored impeachment in the first place. But it's probably right that is where we are, and that we're going to have to do our best to get through the next 22 months or so, 21 months.
Yeah, but Michael, a nuclear-armed terrorist state like Iran nullifies all of this Pollyanna-esque view that we can survive two more years. This could be the final blow here. These people are crazy. They believe by starting a world war, they're going to initiate the 12th Mayday, whatever the psychotics believe in over there. They're nuts. These are not ordinary statesmen.
No, look, I agree with you. This is terrifying. That's why I wrote what I wrote about Israel. It's what I've written 10 times. I mean, I'm writing again for Sunday on this topic. I mean, there is a feeling among the American military and intelligence establishment that if Iran gets a nuclear bomb, there will be a Mideast nuclear war within 5 years. Now, it seems to me that process is being sped up by our president, that we are coming to that moment in history that we've never had before. And it is solely due to his appeasement of Iran. And meanwhile, Iran is spreading its tentacles throughout the region. It effectively has three borders with Israel now: Hamas, Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is in the Golan Heights. I mean, Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, and now the Golan Heights. So this is a historic event that we are witnessing in real time. The president is going golfing this weekend.
I know. The old adage, Nero fiddles while Rome burns, doesn't even apply. This is far greater than that. Michael Goodwin, I love your columns. I think you're one of the best in the world, and I look forward to each and every one of them. And I hope you'll come back very soon on the Savage Nation program.
I'll be happy to, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you very much. These are very serious times and very sobering times, to be honest with you. And there's only so much levity that you can put into a show, and there's only so much seriousness that you can put into a show. And today is one of those days where I'm doing the yin and the yang. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. This is a very big weekend. Right now, Egyptian and Saudi warships have moved into a key strait while striking from the air in Yemen. I mean, so far away, it's hard to follow. But the entire... Would you ever believe you'd wake up and be cheering for Saudi Arabia? Would you believe you'd be cheering that Saudi Arabia's forces would win? Because that's what you should be doing. They are fighting a proxy war against Iran over Yemen right now. Because of Obama's machinations, Yemen has fallen into the hands of the enemies of Jordan, the enemies of Egypt, the enemies of Saudi Arabia, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the United States, and on the side of those rebel enemies is Iran, a good friend of Obama and Kerry. So which side is the president on? He has alienated our key allies in the Middle East. Put aside Israel, because many of you are ambivalent about Israel. Let's put that aside. How could you not see what is going on here? Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, all united against what's going on under the Iranian proxy forces in Yemen. How could you not see this? Who started this? Your golfer in chief. And while this is going on, he's going to give them he's going to give Iran the right to develop a nuclear weapon under the guise that it's for peaceful use. Don't believe it. The Saudis know better. The Egyptians know better. The Jordanians know better. And if you say it has nothing to do with me, then you're a bigger fool than your mother thought you were. By the way, all right, that's the point. It's a big weekend. Kerry, that traitor, Benedict Arnold Kerry. Okay, it's fortune telling. It's fortune cookie time. I had my two lunches. I'm breaking open the cookie. Hold it. You will step on the soil of many countries in your lifetime. Oh, very good. Sorry to get that one when I was 18. Here's another one. Yeah, I'm not Britain, right? Here's the next fortune cookie for Michael Savage from the Double Lunch. Okay. You create your own stage and your audience is waiting. You create your own stage and your audience is waiting. Thank God for that. Thank God for big favors, huh? All right, another big hour across America right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The world is starving for American leadership. But America has an anti-war president. We have no strategy, overarching strategy, to deal with the growing terrorist threat. And it's not just ISIS or Al-Qaeda and all of their affiliates. We've got a serious problem facing the world, and America, by and large, is sitting on the sidelines. And I applaud the Saudis for taking this action to protect their homeland.
You know what's sad here? The words are right, but Boehner is wrong. This is like so boring, it's beyond belief. No passion, nothing, no animation. So that's what we're facing. And by the way, this weekend is one of the turning points in world history. To imagine that a terrorist state like Iran would be permitted to develop a nuclear weapon by a nation it's called for destroying, the United States of America, and the president and the secretary of state are pretending that the American people are behind this is beyond comprehension. It's absolute Benedict Arnold behavior. At the same time, this weekend is a turning point for world history. A huge asteroid capable of wiping out, well, a good portion of the globe, narrowly missed the Earth this morning in its nearest pass for 100 years. Did you know that? I was wondering why I woke up with a slight headache. A mammoth asteroid measuring 1,000 meters wide has narrowly missed Earth in its nearest close shave for 100 years. The huge object called 2014 YB-35 skimmed the Earth earlier this morning, traveling at a speed of more than 23 miles an hour. Now look, it was the eighth time it passed us in the past century, but the closest that it's come in a century. It came within 2.8 million miles of us, which is a small distance in astronomical terms. So you say, well, what are you reading this rubbish for? Well, I don't know. There are celestial events, there are political events, there are emotional events, psychological events. And seems to me this weekend is a combination plate of an awful lot of bad stuff coming together. And what's behind it is anyone's guess, and how it ends is anyone's guess. Now, we know the president is a monomaniac who does not care a whit for the Constitution, the American people, the courts. He is a law unto himself. This country was never supposed to be run on one-man rule, was it? And yet we fundamentally have a rogue president running it on one-man rule, don't we? So what are the checks and balances that the geniuses who created this nation put in place? Well, what are they? 67 members of our esteemed Senate have to vote to override this man's actions. Do you actually think that you're going to find 17 Democrat, socialist, sold-out Islamist senators to join with Republicans to repudiate this maniac in the White House? I'm not that optimistic that that's going to occur. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt are fighting against the proxy Iranian force in Yemen. Our president is on which side? You tell me. You tell me which side he's on. The same time he's helping the Iranian military take over to Crete with our Air Force. Imagine putting your son into the Air Force, and now they're flying missions to make sure that Iran can take over a region of Iraq called Tikrit. Can you imagine the U.S. being used as a Hessian force? Can you imagine this? Your son having to fly for Iranian commanders under Obama. That's number one. The Benedict Arnold Air Force. At the same time he's doing that, he's going to give Iran a rubber stamp to go ahead with their nuclear designs. And at the same time, Saudi Arabia is fortifying its southern border. Egypt is fortifying its border. Jordan is fortifying its borders. Why? Because Obama is either playing for the other team or is the most incompetent president the world could ever imagine. I'm not the only one who sees this. I don't know what it's going to take for the American people to awaken to it. So you say, all right, we've heard this before. Maybe you haven't heard it before. Maybe it's news to you. I don't know. I don't know how much you've heard. I don't really know. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. There's a lot of other things to talk about. It was murder. The jet co-pilot deliberately flew the plane into a mountain. We know he was a nut. We know he was a nut on antidepressants. Never should have been flying. But there is another big question. How many people are on antidepressants right now who are flying planes, putting us in danger, flying America? How do we know how many of our senators are on antidepressants who are maniacs like him? Which actually begs the question, how do we know the president isn't on antidepressants and a maniac like this co-pilot? How do we know these things? Why are we the people not entitled to ask the question, what is he on? Because what he's doing seems like the co-pilot in that plane. He's putting on an autopilot, telling it to crash into the ground. He's taking America, and he put it on autopilot, and he aimed the plane at the ground. What else does it look like he's doing? You think he's creating world peace? Are you that deluded? When Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, who live in that neighborhood, know what he's doing? How do you know we can't have a nut in the White House? Why is it out of the realm of possibility that we have a nut in the White House? Why? See, people get nervous when you even ask the question. But something you don't realize is that he's just a man. The Pope is a man. A president is a man. So therefore, they're people. And as people, they can be great, they can be average, they can be bad, or they can be crazy. Why are we not allowed to ask if the man is not crazy or on medication? And is his medication warping his viewpoint? Is he like the co-pilot who took the jet into the mountaintop? Because he could take this whole nation and crash it into a mountaintop with the policies he's pushing right now. 30 million illegal aliens, nukes for Iran. Go down the list. There's a long list you can go down. A very long list. You forgot him already? You forgot the list of the co-pilot's actions against America? Healthcare. IRS going after his critics. Politicizing the Justice Department with a jackal named Eric, whatever his name is, attacking police. Spying on journalists. Trying to curb religious freedom. Cutting the military to the bone, putting incompetent morons at every level of command. Opening the borders, doubling the debt, nationalizing the internet. You're telling me he's not like the co-pilot of that jet over there in Germany or in France? He's crashing the nation. And we're sitting here like, oh, well, he's the president. He knows what he's doing. Try to get into the cabin. See if you can break down the door and talk to him. No one can break down his door. He's going to a golf course. If that's not the mark of a delusional man, I'd like to know what is. In the midst of the world burning, he's going to golf this weekend? That's not the mark of a nut? He's like the co-pilot in the German jet that smashed into a mountain. That's how it looks to me, like he's a nut. There's no other explanation for his bizarre activities. No other explanation. Now, why are we not allowed to ask the question? I don't understand why people would be upset by the question. Are we not allowed to ask if a leader is sane? Why do you assume that a leader is automatically sane? Why do you assume that a congressman is automatically above corruption? Why do you make such assumptions? They're just people. And as people, they're subject to all the vicissitudes of existence and all the problems of existence and all the possibilities of existence, including the fact that they could be absolute nuts. They could just be crazy. They could be on drugs. They could be seeing things wrongly. And we can't ask the question, what, it's unpatriotic to ask, is the co-pilot sane? And he locks the door to the cabin. What do I mean by Obama's locked the door to the cabin? You can't get in there. Can anyone ask him a rational question? He's not had a real press conference. He has fake press conferences inside his cabin with high schools and junior high schools and stooges. He doesn't have real questions asked of him. No one's been able to say to him, Mr. President, have you thought about the possibility that you could trigger an arms race in the Middle East? Has anyone asked him that? Him and that idiot Kerry? Maybe Kerry's a nut. Maybe they're both crazy. Do you think I'm wrong for asking the question? Is that too insulting? I really don't care what you think, because I don't think it's too insulting. I think we're way past the point of sitting here like idiots. The plane's going down. It's heading right into the land. I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. U.S. may let Iran run centrifuges at once secret site. A terrorist state. Iran is known as a terrorist state. Or was until recently. And the president is now acting against the interests of the American people, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Israel. So I ask the question, is he sane? See, there's only one other conclusion. Either he's insane or he's a traitor. Because if he's not doing this for... What reason is he doing this? What, a deal for a deal's sake? You're going to do a deal with people like this when you know they're going to deceive you? They're going to run hundreds of centrifuges. But it's going to be a trade-off. They're going to run the devices in the hidden place, but they're not allowed to do the work that could lead to an atomic bomb. Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. We won't run. We won't make an atomic bomb. So why is he doing this? Who wants him to do this? Jordan doesn't. Egypt doesn't. Saudi Arabia doesn't. Israel doesn't. Europe doesn't. The American people who can think wouldn't want this. The military... The real military, not the fake military, not the Potemkin military that he set up. The fake military that he set up. The military command under him is a Potemkin military. P-O-T-E-M-K-I-N. So I asked in the last segment, is he sane? There's no other explanation for this. The man is either crazy or he's working for the other side. This is what it appears to be. It's not in the U.S. interests. Can anyone listening to the show tell me it's in the U.S. interest to let Iran develop a nuclear weapon? I don't know if you're going to answer that question because it's an unprotected talk day. Okay, KSFO Radio, San Francisco, line 5. What's on your mind tonight? Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Ann, and, I can't sleep at night. This is so scary what this crazy person in the White House is doing. And the last 3 nights, I haven't been able to sleep, and last night I finally had an epiphany, and I wanted to share it. I feel this just kept going through my mind. Politics without God makes men insane. And whether you follow politics...
Well, I would take God out of the equation. I would say politics without sanity is what we're talking about. He's acting like the co-pilot of the German jet that was flown on purpose into a mountain.
Yeah, but you know what? If you follow politics like I do, I'm not in politics, and you see what's going on. I mean, we have two choices. You're absolutely right. Either he is absolutely crazy. I think he's technically a certified narcissist. The hallmark of a narcissist is a lack of empathy. And this man goes out after our people, heads are cut off, and plays golf. I mean, talk about lack of empathy.
How about releasing a traitor in exchange for 5 enemy generals?
Absolutely. It's insane.
Well, and then he doubles down and says, yes, I would do it again. We don't leave any man behind. Oh, really? How about all the men he left behind in Leavenworth prison for doing their job of killing a Muslim enemy?
And what about the Swift boat people carry left? I mean, really? I mean, it's just a...
How about all the veterans he left behind in the hallways of the VA hospitals? How about all the vets he cut out of the memorial to Vietnam and the other memorials in Washington during the sequester to punish them? How about those vets that he left behind, that liar?
I agree.
All right, well, look, I can get a stroke doing this. It's unbelievable to me that this is what's going on right in front of our eyes. He is acting like the co-pilot of the German jet flying our nation straight into a mountaintop. And we're sitting here like morons ordering another drink. Go ahead. Don't worry, he's a good pilot. Don't let them criticize him, but sir, the plane is going down. What are you, a racist? No, but sir, look, the mountain's coming up at us real fast. You must be a racist. Call Harry Reid. Call Eric Holder. There must be a racist passenger in the plane who's criticizing the pilot. What do you mean the plane's going down? Just because the mountain's coming up doesn't mean the plane's going down. It could be the mountain's a racist coming up at the plane like that. Maybe the pilot didn't aim for the mountain. Maybe the mountain didn't aim for the plane. This is what you hear. It's Alice in Wonderland. The mountain aimed for the plane. Every mistake on earth is because of someone else, not him. And this schmuck's going golfing this weekend. You hear? And they sit here like idiots. Nero fiddled while Rome burns. Make the comparison. Obama golfed while what? Try to make it rhyme. It's no joke anymore. It's not about politics. This is not about a difference of opinion. This is about a difference of survival or not surviving as a nation. At least that's how I see it. And what do we have on the other side? A bumbler like Boehner. Play Boehner again, just a second of this. Listen to this.
The world is starving for American leadership.
You hear?
But America has an anti-war president.
I like either combo. There's a combo there in that voice, and I'm an expert. It's an antidepressant plus a scotch. And probably a big meal combined to come out on that. That's all. Who's waiting in the wings, though? I don't know who's waiting in the wings. You got Ted Cruz. Oh, God. See, Ted Cruz is a smart man, but he's unelectable. I keep saying that. He's saying, oh, you're undermining him. No, I'm not undermining him. I'm telling you the truth. I'm a pragmatist. And I like winners. And if the conservatives want to win, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with that picture. He came out of the starting gate too soon. He didn't have the right jockey. And as a result, he broke his leg right out of the starting gate. Crapped on him. You know what happens with a horse, a very, very high-strung horse at a racetrack if you're into racing? Some of them get so nervous in the starting gate that they break a leg in the little stall they're in before the gate goes up. They're so nervous to get out there. They either break a leg or they soil themselves. That's Ted Cruz. A combo. The first question he was asked about, wait a minute, you're against Obamacare, you're going to repeal it, but you're putting your family on it. Now, of course, it's an unfair question. But if he had had a proper jockey, meaning someone advising him, they would have had him ready for that. He didn't answer it properly. He got huffy. Wrong answer. You can't get mad at the psychos in the media. You'd like to punch them in the nose, I understand that. But you can't. You got to do a Reagan. You got to smile at them and make them look like the jerks that they are. That's the way you play the game with the psychos in the media. But But all right, he didn't have the right jockey. So who's next? I'm sorry to tell you, the next one, oh my God. Here he comes. Get out the phone book. Get out the phone book. Here comes Rand Paul. Next one in the starting gate. Again, before the gate goes up, another leg, another snap of another bone. So who? I'll tell you who. I'm voting for Cotton. Iraq war vet, Afghan war vet, rather. Harvard law graduate. That's the man I would like to see take over the Republican Party. I want to back Cotton for president.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, through the community college process, through consumer advocates at the local level, in the high schools, we need to be teaching young people the dangers of taking out too much consumer debt.
Are you kidding me? The most profligate spender in the history of America? A man who prints money around the clock to fund the welfare state? A man who has no regard for the taxpayer with regard to the abuse that he and his wife inflict upon us with their peripatetic natures? Look it up. It's not a dirty word, nor is it racist. See if you can find some racism in it. It's a big word, I know. Every day they're on another vacation somewhere at your expense, but he's going to tell kids in junior college the dangers of taking out too much consumer debt. I mean, this is a laugh. How does this go on? If it was a comedy show with a fake president, it couldn't get better than this. Unfortunately, there are consequences to a fake president who's real, which is the world is on the edge of exploding. He has taken an ally called Russia, nuclear armed to the teeth, phenomenal Air Force, phenomenal ground troops, phenomenal Navy. And he has alienated Russia to the extent because of his frail ego. He has turned Putin into Hitler, along with Hillary Clinton, starting a possible World War III, a nuclear exchange, according to not Michael Savage. Now, don't trust my views. Trust Mikhail Gorbachev, who said that about 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago. Gorbachev was once a darling of the left. Now that he said that about Obama, possibly pushing us into a nuclear exchange with Russia, I guess Gorbachev won't be invited to Dianne Feinstein's soirees. He will be persona non grata on Pacific Heights amongst the heroin addicts with mansions who pass for the cream of society. Yeah, in 49 the miners came, in 51 the whores. You know that one. Read Mark Twain. Anyone know the rest of that old couplet? All of the high-class people on Pacific Heights? In 49 the miners came, in 51 the whores. Did you ever see the rest of that? It was written by me. It was written by Mark Twain. Maybe they can eliminate it in the schools of San Francisco, in case you think they're just gussied up prostitutes on Pacific Heights. An Army private deserts his unit, put on charges for that desertion, traded for 5 terror generals. Obama's ready to sign a deal with Iran to give them the ability, of course, not to develop nuclear weapons. We can trust Iran. This is a country that called us the great Satan just the other day and says they'll destroy us. And Obama will give them the ability to spin centrifuges in a fortified underground bunker. He's not doing everything he can to help people in the region fight ISIS. The airstrikes he's now allowing around Tikrit are helping Iranian militia take Tikrit. We know that the administration declassified information outing Israel's nuclear program, allowing their enemies to look right into the bunkers. We know that the administration does not like Jews. We know that they don't like Israel. They know that he doesn't particularly like Netanyahu. We know that he sent hundreds of left-wing fanatics to undermine their election. He meddled in a foreign election. We know that he will not use the word Islamic when talking about terrorists. These are the things we all know, but the question I raise again today is why? Why does Obama take these positions that seem to be anathema to everything that ordinary Americans, thinking Americans, think is correct? Why is he antagonizing our allies, which includes, by the way, not just Israel, but Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, and Morocco for that matter? Why is he attacking Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and Morocco? They're our best friends in the Muslim world. Why? Why is he working against their interests? Why is he supporting Iran? What is it that drives this man? What is it that has influenced him in his life that makes him hate America so much? What makes a person act in a way that is opposed to the way a normal person would protect a nation? I have answers, but I'd rather you answer them. Now Saudi Arabia says that they may go and get weapons, nuclear weapons, from Pakistan. They're not going to develop their own. You see, the story is this. When the Pakistanis were permitted to develop nuclear weapons, the Saudi monarchy allegedly paid up to 60% of the program, the nuclear program, in return for the ability to buy warheads for itself from Pakistan on short notice. That was reported in the Guardian newspaper in 2010. So now we have to assume that the Saudis have already ordered those nukes. They're not going to tell us that they have them any more than Israel would say they really had them. Israel didn't want to start an arms race. Saudi Arabia knew that the Israelis would never use nukes on them. They knew that. Jordan knew that the Israelis would never use nukes on them. But the world doesn't know what the psychotics and headscarves will do in Iran. We can only look at the past. Why is there such silence about what this maniac president of ours is doing? Why is there no outcry from Harvey Weinstein, David Geffen, Katzenberg, Spielberg? Why do I single out Harvey Weinstein, Katzenberg, Spielberg, and Geffen? They're Jewish Americans. Yes, they're liberals. They're entitled to be. And yet they're good friends of the president. And allegedly they were good friends of Israel until he came along. So now they have a divided question in their mind. Who should they be friends with? The president who controls their industry through various and sundry, let us say, tax advantages or non-tax advantages? You do understand it's all business to Jeffrey and Harvey, don't you? You think they actually like Obama? I don't know. Maybe they like Obama. But why don't they say anything to Obama? Why is there no international reaction to this lunatic's starting a World War III and arms race in the Middle East? And they look, I can ask 1,000 questions for which there's only one answer. We have an American-hating president in the White House who fundamentally is not only redoing America but destroying America's ability to survive into the next 10 years, in the opinion of anyone who can think about it. But most of us don't care. You know, I look at my audience size and numbers, and most of the people who listen to this show, not all but most, are 35-plus in age. Did you know that? Robert doesn't know that. Jim may know that. No, I'm serious. I looked at the numbers. It's a nice audience, large audience, but it's mainly 35-plus. That's the demo. So tell me about the people who are younger than 35 years in age. I was once younger than 35 years in age, and at 18 I could care less about anything going on in the world. I didn't care. They don't care. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean they're ignorant. It doesn't mean they're brainwashed necessarily. It just means that they're younger. They don't care. It's what's ever in front of their eyes that matters to most of them. They don't know what Obama does. They don't, many of them may or may not like him. You know, they know he's a con man like most presidents. And they have no connection to the political process. You say politics to them, their eyes shut closed. Not interested. And yet they're allegedly the future of America. No apology furor. State senator stands by saying he'd shoot a cop. You hear? Look at this moron. Nebraska politician compares cops to ISIS. Can you believe this? Right, this guy is really something. This state senator, Ernie Chambers, is not backing down. He stood Thursday in the floor of the Nebraska legislature and rejected many of his colleagues' calls for him to apologize or even resign for comparing cops to ISIS terrorists and suggesting he'd shoot a cop if he weren't nonviolent and had a gun. He said, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. Are you listening to this? This ignorant moron is perfect for the Justice Department. Instead of resigning, I think that State Senator Ernie Chambers should be hired immediately by the Justice Department to run the Civil Rights Division and persecute white cops. I think there should be a new division in the new Justice Department under Loretta Lynch, which is called the Police Lynching Division. And see how many cops you can lynch on false charges based on their race. And then hire Ernie Chambers to head up that lynching division. Get it? It's all sarcasm. Do you get that? Is that too strong for you? I hope not. It's unbelievable to me. Yeah, he's entitled to freedom of speech, but this is a politician. Can you mean, can you believe this is what goes on, this racial hatred coming out of his mouth? This is racial hatred. He happens to be an African-American state senator, and he said that cops are like ISIS terrorists, and a state senator says he'd shoot a cop if he weren't nonviolent and had a gun. And this is the country you're living in under Holder, Obama, Susan Rice, and the sorority. The Russian Soyuz rocket carrying an American astronaut, Scott Kelly, to the International Space Station from Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Now, we used to have a NASA until this genius came along and destroyed it almost within a month of taking power. The genius in the White House eliminated NASA and now turned our astronauts into passengers on Russian rockets. I'm surprised Obama doesn't push his political agenda on the Russians here and insist that they have a transgendered bathroom facility on the Soyuz, or they won't ride on it or something like that. And go a step further and make it like a modern American aircraft carrier, have birthing facilities on the Soyuz in case someone wants to have a baby on the way to the International Space Station, because you don't want to be prejudiced against anybody. You know, rampant sex on the Soyuz, I mean, that would be the American way. That should come before the mission. Isn't that wonderful that our astronauts are now basically second-class passengers on Russian rockets? Of course, we can't keep any secrets since they're on Russian rockets. Our astronauts are an open book, which is, of course, the Obama way. He believes in transparency when it comes to the U.S. military secrets. The only transparency he doesn't believe in is about his own secrets. Anyway, you get the drift. I'm a real fan of Barack Obama, as you can tell. What was he hiding? Shredded sick notes found in co-pilot's apartment. Probe looks at possible life crisis. Life. Why'd they let this nut fly? Why'd they let this medicated nut fly? Receiving medical treatment that he hid from his employer? Break up with his girlfriend? I read this morning something else. I can't even read it because there's no verification, translated from a German blog, and it's by Michael Mannheimer. And there's no point in, you know, repeating a blog from Germany on the fact that he may have been a Muslim. I can't say that he might have been a Muslim yet, because there's no confirmation that he was an Islam convert to Islam. And so, therefore, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Well, as we come to the last minutes of the Savage Nation, we have war in the Middle East. It's being called a battle for control of the Middle East. And guess which side your president is on? He's on the side of the enemy. He's on the side of Iran against all of our allies. Go figure that one out. You have to ask, is he a nut? He's just a man. Men go crazy. They come into office maybe sane and go nuts from the pressure, or they come in nuts and go out even more nuts. Saudis, Egyptians are moving in warships. Saudi Arabia's air force is pounding the rebel camp supported by Iran. Middle East is in free fall. Paris is against the deal that John Lockjaw Kerry is about to sign with the turban guys in Iran, the ones who call us the Great Satan. The ones who said they're going to wipe Israel off the map and then take on the great Satan. Why are we allowing them to develop a nuclear weapon? Why? Tell me how this is even possible. So this is what's going to happen this weekend. It's like an asteroid hit the Earth when Obama was born. You say, like, asteroid mystery. Maybe he was the human asteroid. This guy is wrecking the entire world order. Is it for the better of humanity? I don't know. Ask Harvey Weinstein. They know everything. Ask David Geffen on his 500-foot boat floating around there in the Mediterranean what he thinks about what he created in the Frankenstein. It's a bad situation, terrible situation. Meanwhile, the special forces are set to swarm the Southwest. I don't understand how you cannot see the put two and two together. He's putting U.S. special forces in the Southwest of the United States in a massive military exercise where they're going to operate in plain clothes, undetected among civilians, violating the Posse Comitatus Act. Even in training, they're violating it. Nothing, not a word. Not a word from all the false civil libertarians in Manhattan. Not a word from the civil libertarians anywhere in America. So the world goes on, melting down like Chernobyl. Freedom melting down like Chernobyl. We're not allowed to ask which side is he on. Is he a muffin? I mean, is he a muffin convert? Then there's the pilot, the story came out. Is he a muffin convert? We can't say the religious word anymore. We're going to use the word muffin now instead. Is the, because there was a German blog which said that he was, but, you know, you can't verify. What's the difference? He killed all those people. And life goes on. The band played on. Get out the bikini. Go to Miami Beach and have a dip in the surf. Have a cocktail tonight. Smoke some weed. Get your bong. I don't know. You don't even know who's in the cockpit anymore. Used to get into an airplane, you could see it was in. I used to go on an airplane before the terrorism started. The door would be open into the cockpit. I'd look at the pilot first. If I didn't like the look of the pilot, I'd get off the plane. I did it several times at Southwest in the old days. And weirdos in there, I left. I did a turnaround. I said, oh, I left my bag in the, and I left. Anyone looks like they got there through a little push ahead because of whatever, bingo, I didn't fly. My bias. That's all, my common sense, my survival instincts. No more now. Now they got the door locked. You don't know who's in there. You don't know who's sitting there. A nut. This guy even flies on. They knew he was on depression. He was depressed. Co-pilot tore up doctor's note. You know it's the SSRIs. You know that. Almost every school shooting in this country was conducted by kid nuts who were on SSRIs. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRI. Many of you are on them. You're nuts. Any minute now you could go off like a firecracker, but they won't tell you that. There's a tremendous amount of suicide on SSRIs. You know, whatever goes up must come down. You ever hear that one? If you keep squeezing out the serotonin into your bloodstream, you want to put it that way, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, right? It inhibits the reuptake of serotonin, so it lets more serotonin squirt around inside your serum. Well, eventually, something happens. You run out of serotonin, you fall into a depression, and either crash a plane or shoot yourself or someone else. You can't keep upping the SSRIs. Where's the serotonin supposed to come from? Okay, but that's too common. Your doctor didn't explain that to you. He didn't learn that in medical school. All he knew how to write the script. That's all. Take a walk. I saw you for 6 minutes. Let me see the next one. In Kaiser Medical Care. All right, have a nice weekend.